As you might notice, the song of invitation is 923, I am coming, Lord. Y'all know what a commentary is? Barnes, Adam Clark, Matthew Henry, commentaries. We read a passage in the scripture and we think, wow, I could use some help understanding that. When Philip approached the eunuch, was reading in Isaiah 53, and Philip says, you understand it? Eunuch goes, I need help. How can I unless somebody helps me understand this? Philip began there and preached him Jesus. A commentary is when we read a passage. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What does that mean? And so we go to a commentary and we look up John 3:16. And we read what somebody else thinks it means. And it helps us form our own thoughts. A commentary explaining what we're reading. There's an old saying, the Bible is its own best commentary. You want to know what a passage means that's written here? Look here to find other passages that help explain it. I've just given you the theme that I'm going to try to use or to adhere to as we go through our lesson this morning. Our text for the lesson is going to be Psalms 119, verses 9 through 16. Aaron read for us verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. That's the passage. Do you want your life to be righteous and pure? There's your answer. Do what God says. It's really that simple. It's not complicated. The difficulty comes for you and I putting it into application. The psalmist addresses himself in the specific to a young man. But in principle, obviously, he's talking to all of us. The concept is basic in its simplicity and its truth. If you want to walk rightly, walk according to God's standard. The standard that is pure, his word. We must use the word as our guide and shield. We must love the word. That's the title of our lesson for today. Love of the word. Do I love it? John talks about that principle in John chapter 15 and in verse 3. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. That's what the word does. Do you love that? Or do you care that the word has done anything for you? The word cleans us. It washes away our sin. It reveals, let me rephrase that. The blood of Christ washes away our sins. But the word is what guides me into that. My faithful obedience to what God has said. John chapter 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. What cleanses us, what sets us apart, is our faithful obedience to God's word. That's what puts us into a position to partake of the grace and the mercy of God that cleanses man from his sin, washes my sin away and your sin away. So, what should our reaction to that word be? Psalm 119 and verse 10. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. God, I want to walk pure. And I recognize and accept and understand there's only one way to do that. And that's to follow after God. And to follow after His Word and do what He has said. God, keep me steadfast. Remember we talked about this morning being focused? And how if you're going to walk behind a plow, which we don't do anymore, or even drive a tractor, if you're not watching there, the row behind you was doing this. That's how you keep it straight. You find your point. That's where I want to end, and I keep it pointed that way. The shortest distance between any two points is a straight line. Wouldn't it be nice if we could walk a straight line right into heaven? Doing what God wants us to do, never wavering. Unfortunately, my life, and I'm going to assume for a moment, or presume maybe is the better term, that your life does the same as mine and we're doing this. We're kind of, sometimes we're going in circles. Because we sometimes lose our focus on what God wants us to do. Don't let me wander from thy commandments. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And if you haven't picked up on what I'm trying to do here, we're looking at a verse from Psalms. And now we're bringing other passages in to kind of help explain to us what the psalmist has already told us. The Bible is its own best commentary. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men. How, God, do I maintain my focus on your word? How do I allow your word to keep me from wandering away from it? When I have the understanding that everything I do in this life, everything, word or deed, I'm doing for God. That means if I'm out pounding nails and building a house, I'm doing it for God. That means if I'm going to my job, whatever your job is, I'm doing it for God. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm working. Well, actually it does, I guess, working for God. But it's the mindset that says, whatever I'm doing, I need to have the thought that I'm doing it for God. If I'm a carpenter and I'm building a house, if my mindset is such that I'm building it for the Lord, I might have a different approach to how I build it. If I'm selling real estate and my mindset is such that I'm selling it to the Lord, then I'm going to toe the line. I'm not going to veer off and do things maybe I shouldn't. Every job that we have, that's how our thoughts should be. Don't let me wander from thy commandments. The love of God has been manifested to man in his sacrifice, and it's not without conditions. God has done his part. And for man to be able to partake of that promise, he needs to understand God's done his part. So then, my beloved, Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 12, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. See what Paul tells the Philippians? Whose responsibility is it? You. Me. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Understand that I'm coming before God with His due reverence, due respect, due recognition of His majesty, and also with trembling, recognizing that He is a just God and He will reward me justly for what the things, for what things I have said and what things I have done. I need to work out my salvation with both fear, respect for God's word, and trembling, understanding that I need to fear him who can kill the soul and not worry so much about the body. God's a God of love, and he wants us to love him in return. And if we're to love God as he has loved us, we have to work at it through obedience to him. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19, we read, "Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, since all those things are there, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, no doubting, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." You want to come to God? You want to have a relationship with God? You want an opportunity to have a home in heaven eternally? Come to God. That's what he's saying. And we do it through faithful obedience to his word, having our hearts washed clean with pure water. 1 Peter 3, baptism now saves you, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Sound familiar? Isn't that what we just read? Baptism is step one. Step five. Step one's here, then we believe the word. Then we repent. Then we confess Christ as the Son of God and we are baptized. I kind of lump all that together and call it step one. Baptism washes away our sins and puts us on that path. And we need to keep our eyes focused on the goal of eternal life and live a faithful and obedient life that we might be able to partake of the grace and mercy of God. Coming to God through Christ is not to be taken lightly. We have to understand that the commitment is a lifelong endeavor, and it must be diligently pursued and worked at. That was the discussion that we had in our class this morning. The requirements for what we need, what you and I need to have salvation. The man who would come to God seeks him with all his heart. In the Word, this is where God is revealed to us through God incarnate, his Son, Jesus the Christ. You want God? You can't find him anywhere but right here. Oh, you can see him and see his handiwork out there. But if you want to find God, you have to come to him through his word. Verse 11 of Psalm 119. Thy word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against thee. The psalmist is making two very important points. He says, we must treasure the word in our hearts so that when we plant the word within us, we can hope to keep from sinning. You see, sin, by definition, is a violation of God's word, his commandments. If you don't know his word, how do you know if you're violating them or not? You cannot. The only way that I can keep from sin is if I put God's word here so that it's always with me, that I understand it, that I know it. If I don't know that God says, On the first day of the week, the disciples gathered to break bread in Acts 20 and 7. How can I know that if I'm not partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, that I'm sinning? Because that would be exactly what that would be. I need to be participating. If I don't know that Hebrews 10:25 tells me to assemble with the saints and don't make a habit of not assembling, how can I know that I'm violating that? DMV code. Unless otherwise posted, the speed limit on any street is 55 miles an hour. Now, they may have changed that to 65. It's been a few years since I looked at it. There are a few exceptions. A residential area, 25. If you happen to enter by a school, even if the signs aren't up that say school zone, it's 25 when children are present. But that means if you're out driving on a country road and there's no stop sign, 55. That's the law. But we're told that. When you take your driver's license test, it's in the book. We're supposed to learn that. So that when we get out there on the road, we know that if I'm going to make a left turn, unless it's a double left turn lane, you begin your turn in the lane farthest to the left, and you end your turn in the lane farthest to the left. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm coming west on Gettysburg, and when I hit Clovis Avenue, I'm in the left-hand turn lane, and I turn left. But I want to turn right within like 200 feet of where Gettysburg crosses Clovis. So I don't turn into the left lane. There's three lanes there in Clovis. I just make my left turn and go all the way to the far right lane because I know I need to make a right-hand turn. I'm breaking the law, and I know that. But I've tried to be very honest. I have tried to turn into the left lane, immediately turn my right blink around and pull over, but guess what? Every person behind me that's making a left turn has turned into that far right lane. I can't get over. Do we know God's word? Do we know it well enough to know what it's telling us and what we have to do? It's only when we plant the word within us that we can hope to keep from sinning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Become sober-minded as you ought. Stop sinning. How? Or why am I sinning? Because some don't have any knowledge of God. Now listen to what Paul says. I speak this to your shame. They should have known. How long have you been coming to services? How long have you been a member of the church? What do you know about God's word and what God says? Do you know enough to tell somebody else what they need to do to be saved? Do you know God's word well enough to be able to quote the passages or to be able to at least cite them? Not necessarily quote them, but be able to say, this is what God says about hearing his word. This is what he says about believing his word. This is what he says about repentance. This is what he says about confession. And this is what he says about baptism. All too often, we struggle telling other people about God and his gospel, not because we're shy or because I just can't speak well. It's because I don't know it well enough to tell anybody. I see smiley faces. I just noticed them. My apologies, but it makes me smile because last week I made mention that maybe we should have smiley faces on our masks. So as Eric said, we can see the smiles. Thank you. I apologize, but it kind of got distracted. God's word can help me not to sin. And I need to try and help others. And if I'm not, that's to my shame. And it's to my shame because I haven't taken the time to learn this. I spent a lot of hours practicing my guitar, trying to learn how to play it. Didn't wind up to being very good at all. I'm a strummer. But I spent a lot of time trying to learn it. I decided I wanted to play golf. I went and took a lesson, so at least I could learn the basics. And I spent time practicing. I had projects that I had to do in Excel for work. And I had to go and learn how to put in all of the functions and everything that you can make Excel talk to you if you want. But you got to learn how to do it. I use PowerPoint. I had to learn how to do that. And if somebody comes to me and says, Gil, how do you put that PowerPoint together? I can show them. I can show you if you want. I've taught classes on Excel. Forgot it all. Why is this not important enough for me to learn it so well I can tell somebody else about it? And that, brethren, is to our shame. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalm, hymn, and spiritual song, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father, the Christian mantra. If I'm able to keep that focus in my heart and mind, that whatever I'm doing it for the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, then I'll reach my goal of eternal life in heaven. Quick aside, notice verse 16. Christ is talking, Paul is writing to all of those at the church of Colossae. And he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That's all of you. And he tells all of you, with all wisdom, teach and admonish one another in song, hymn, and spiritual song. Now, unless we happen to be mute and not able to speak, we can all sing. Please note, nowhere do you see where he says, teach and admonish one another in all, with all wisdom and song, hymn, spiritual song, singing pretty. Doesn't say that. It just says to sing. Let God know you're happy. How can I teach you? How can I admonish you if you can't hear me? How can you teach me and admonish me if I can't hear you? Oh, we want to hear something pretty and all of the parts and have it be harmonious. That's not what God wants. God wants us to rejoice and to let him know and let each other know with our voices that we are singing. That's a commandment teaching every one of us. And here's the point. Does that authorize musical instruments? Because if we say, well, the term psalm comes from the Greek word psalto, which means to pluck the string. By the way, that's accurate. So that means we can play. No. If that's what that's talking about, then the commandment is to you all. What instrument do you play? And you better start bringing it. You see the point? What people do when they try to alter God's word is they tear it apart and they make it say what they want to. Well, that gives me authority that I can use musical instruments. No, if that were the case, it gives authority that each and every one of us would be using musical instruments, not just a select few. I'm sorry, that's one of my hot points. I'll get off that soapbox. We are to do everything according to the authority of God do all in his name. In 1 John chapter 2, as for you, beginning of verse 24, as for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he himself made to us. Eternal life. Isn't that our goal? That's our focus, right? There it is. It's right there. In your case, it's right there. That's what we all want. How do we get there? John says, let that which you heard, the word of God, abide in you, and you abide in it. When you do that, you gain the promise of eternal life. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Psalm 25 and 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation, and for thee I wait all the day. All scripture has been given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable for you and I, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for understanding, that we might be furnished to every good work. Lead me in thy truth. Teach me. God will guide us into his truth, into his path of righteousness, if we will but seek, we will but knock, and we will but ask. Brethren, that's not a one-time thing. I need to be asking, seeking, and knocking every moment of every day. God, what do I do here? Oh, okay. It may not give me the specific, but it gives me the general. Man has a responsibility in this equation. God has done everything he's going to do. And when we take what God has done and add it to what you and I must do, that equals salvation. Tried to figure out how to put that into my Excel spreadsheet. Couldn't do it. Some of you that are smarter than I am, maybe you can. But that's the plan. That's the equation. That's the form. God has given us his son Jesus, who died for us. All we have to do is go to him. We have to be willing to take that step. And if we're not, we're lost. We have a responsibility. The writer in Psalm describes that responsibility this way. In verse 13 of chapter 119, with my lips, I have told of all the ordinances of thy mouth. What are we doing with God's word? Where are we taking this? What purpose does this have in our life? If I'm not out there teaching it, if I'm not out there speaking it, if I'm not out there living it, then I'm not out there living for the Lord. Proverbs 15 and 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so. See what it says? That knowledge there is talking about God's word. The wise person is out there spreading God's word. Yeah, the fool, not so much. Do we want to be foolish or wise? Christ says in Matthew 10 and 27, what I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. When's the last time you got up on your roof and began to preach God's word? I've done it one time. Years ago. Because I wanted to see what that was going to be like. As I recall, I didn't affect anybody. But you never know. Cecil and I were talking earlier. You never know if maybe that little grain that somebody walking by saying, what is that ding-dong? Oh. Well, keeps going. Maybe 20 years down the road, he says, you remember what that ding-dong said? And that's how it works. We don't know. Somebody says, how come you're always so happy? Well, I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Would you like to be happy? In Acts chapter 4, verse 19, beginning. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you get to be the judge. This is the council that is the hierarchy, the government, if you will, that has just told them, you can't preach God anymore. Get out of here. We cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. That is commitment of conviction. Or maybe it's conviction of commitment. Take your pick. Peter and John were so full of the word that Christ had given them, so committed in their faith, that for them to quit speaking it would have been about as impossible as for them to go and drain the Mediterranean Sea. Couldn't happen. Ultimately, the result of giving the greatest gift to someone else, in verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches of this world. Solomon says it this way. After everything is said and done, after everything has been looked at, tried, experienced, experimented with, here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments. You want to give the greatest gift you could ever give to anybody? Give them the gift of Jesus Christ, who can save them from their sin and lead them into eternal life. There's nothing as rewarding as coming up out of the watery grave of baptism into the newness of life. How do you put it, Cecil? Having died to the old man of sin. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Thy words were found, and I ate them. Thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Do you love the word? Is this word so important to you that you eat it? That you take it in and digest it? Make it a part of you. Christ describes it this way in Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, that which a man found and hid, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, buys the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and finding that one pearl of great price, he sells everything he has and buys it. What have you given up for God? What have you given up for Christ? What have you given up so that you can follow his word, that you can worship him in the correct manner, keeping the commandments that he has given, so that we can truly say when we stand before him that we have made our best effort, that everything that we have done in word or deed, we did by his authority. I will meditate on thy precepts. I will regard thy ways, O God. Verse 15, Psalm 119. The commentary. James 1:26 says, the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. Continuing in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 148, my eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on thy word. You know what that just said? It says, I know I get up with the sun, and I go out and I take care of all my chores and all my duties, and I work hard all day long. But I can't wait until the nighttime comes, when things quiet down and I have an opportunity to think, God, about what you've told me, to read it, to learn it, to do it. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to thine ordinances. We've heard it said from this pulpit many times, not just by me. Wednesday evening is a wonderful respite, an opportunity to gather together with brethren, loved ones, and study God's word and hear the comments that get made and what other people think, so that it helps me form my thoughts and conclusions. Just a good time out. It recharges the batteries. That's what the psalmist is saying. Only he's saying he does it every night. He can't wait until the time comes when the kids are in bed and the chores are done, and I've got this little weak candle barely putting out a flame, and here I am trying to read. What a blessing we have. We can turn on our flashlights, pull the covers over our head, and we can read until we want. Do we look forward to studying God's word? In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in God's law, he meditates day and night. Verse 16 of 119, I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word. Where is our delight? Is it in the things of this world? Or is it in the precepts of God? Where is our hope? Is it in the promises of riches and toys that the world offers? Or is our hope in eternal life? See, there's one of the problems with prosperity gospel. All you got to do is give. And the more you give, the more you get. A lot of people like that. Why? Because their focus isn't on the eternal life. Their focus is on getting more things. I want to be rich. So I'll give more to God. Because when I do that, God gives it back to me tenfold. That's, in a nutshell, prosperity gospel. You just heard it. Is that what you want? There's a number of people that are meeting in the name of religion here in Fresno that are preaching just that. Or you can become big time. You can go on the radio or on the TV and you can join one of those 10,000, 20,000, whatever congregations, and that's what they all preach and teach. Think about it. 20,000 people, if they all just give $1 every Sunday, that's $20,000 a week. Can you live on $80,000 a month? I might struggle. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15 beginning, and the Holy Spirit bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them, and after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws on their heart and upon their mind I will write them. He then says, in their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. When are our sins not remembered? When we take His word and put it on our heart and we abide by it and we live it. Our longest reading in this lesson, beginning in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, for that which I am doing, I don't understand. I'm not practicing what I'd like to do. I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the thing that I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which indwells me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. The wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not wish. If I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer doing it, but the sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one that wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Stop there a moment. What Paul just said is that I have a battle going on in me because my flesh, my desire, my want is to partake of what Satan offers out there in the world. But my heart and my mind are saying, I want that goal. I want that hope of eternal life. The two don't mesh. You can't participate in the things of the world and still have the hope of eternal life. They don't go together. They're oil and water, and they don't mix. You either have one or you have the other. Paul says, I don't want to have the things of this world. I want God and that hope of eternal life. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen to that one. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. and I'm battling my flesh, which wants the law of sin. That's our battle, friends. That's what we're fighting. Looking back then at the passages that we've just used God's word to have a commentary on, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. With all my heart, I have sought thee. Don't let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have told of all the ordinances of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as anything that the world could possibly give me is in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I will regard your ways. I shall delight in thy statutes, and I shall not forget thy word. Do you love the word of God? Do you love it so much that you take it within you? That every opportunity you have, you're cracking it open and reading it. You were dead in your trespasses, not in sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. I just let the Bible fall open. It fell open to Ephesians chapter, that was chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. But do you see? Open your Bibles. Read what it says. If there's questions, if you don't quite understand it, ask. We got however many people we got here, 50, 45? Every last one of us is willing to talk. And if we can't figure it out, we'll go find somebody that can. We got some people in this congregation, men and women, who have a very good grasp of what God is saying. Just ask. But if you don't ask, the door won't be opened. If you don't seek, you will not find. If you don't knock, the door will not be opened. If you don't ask, you won't be given. I get him confused as I'm talking. Are you here today? Have you done what God says? Have you come to him in faithful obedience, having been baptized for the remission of sin? If not, you still carry your sin. You still bear the burden of sin. That separation from God for eternity. Don't do that. Come to God with a good conscience and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If having done that and you've strayed away, God wants you back. And he has made the promise that he will forgive your sins if you will just come to him and confess them. That's the Lord's invitation. If you're here this morning, we would invite you to come as we stand and sing.